Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Only a few days after the 9/11 attacks, there were some young men in a southern city who were driving along and happened to see a man walking along wearing long robes on a sidewalk. They assumed he was in Muslim garb. They began yelling at him. They stopped their car, jumped out, and went over and began assaulting him and ultimately ended up beating him to death. Turned out that the man that they had murdered was a Sudanese refugee who had come here with his family not long before seeking asylum from Muslim invaders in his country of Sudan, persecuting him because of his Christian faith. What sad irony that here the very faith that he thought he was getting away from in order to protect his family, he was now identified with because of his clothing and beat to death. And in his heart, apparently, it was quite a different matter than what it appeared externally. To these thugs who beat him up that day, looks were rather deceiving. Had they known this was a man of Christian faith, would they have treated him differently? Who would have known that Christianity could have been found in such an unexpected place? You might say there's some similarity with that concept of finding faith in an unexpected place with the man in our text before us today. The town of Capernaum was on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. It was at the edge of a political border, and because of its very important location among the Jewish people, the Roman Empire had established had established great significance to this city as a place to gather customs and taxes from people. And because of its importance, they had to make sure to have a military presence there. And so this man in our text was apparently in charge of this garrison of troops who had been placed there. And we don't know how, but somehow he had come to know of Christ as the Messiah and as his Savior. Somehow he had come to have and develop this deep faith in him. Now, more than likely, this Roman man had been brought up in some pagan faith, probably bowing down to various idols in his life. And it was rather unexpected to find true faith in Christ in him in maybe this place where it would not have been expected. We're told by Luke that the people of the town loved this man. And he had even built a synagogue for them to be able to come and worship God and to hear God's word read and so on. So had he possibly learned about the Messiah through some of the people he had befriended in town? Or maybe had he gone to services at their local synagogue? Or had he somehow run across a scroll of the prophet Isaiah? We just don't know. But it was quite an odd thing in a sense that here was this man who represented this foreign invading empire that the Jewish people hated generally. This man who represented this oppressive regime, and yet he now had converted to their very faith. This was really kind of an unexpected place to find a believer. That often happens in the kingdom of God. He comes and refers to Jesus as Lord in our text. He shows tremendous confidence in Christ's ability to perform a miraculous deed, which our Lord does. And he places tremendous confidence and trust in our Lord's, in the power of our Lord's word to carry out this miracle. Jesus uses the context of this man's faith, maybe who many would think was kind of an unexpected faith in him. He uses the context to turn to the others who were following him, and probably not only his disciples, but others in the crowd that were with him. And let's hear his words one more time, because he teaches us a very important lesson for us today. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's a biblical reference to hell. The point our Lord is making is this. Don't assume that you have heaven waiting for you just because of something that you were born into, just because of your nationality or maybe your family lineage or anything that deals with external things. Sometimes we can find ourselves kind of drifting into a false sense of security about our spiritual lives and about our future in heaven based upon the wrong things. Maybe the fact that we live in a primarily Christianized nation, as if somehow that makes us more special. Or the fact that maybe my name is recorded in a particular church phone book. The fact that I am a member at a particular congregation. Or maybe a certain church body that I belong to, who teaches and professes things right. That alone, my allegiance to that alone, then that church body somehow gives me an advantage. Or the fact that maybe we've come from a long line of a very faithful Christian people. Maybe the fact that our parents, my mom or my dad, is a very devout Christian, maybe even a church worker. Or how about the fact that I'm even in the ministry, that I'm a chaplain, that I work at an institution that professes Christ. Just that external connection to those things, it's sometimes tempting for us to think that that's all that matters. Consider the tremendous spiritual advantages that the Jewish people of Jesus' day had. They had the Word of God given to them. They had the prophets sent to them. They had the messianic faith. They were the carriers of the coming Savior. They had the temple worship. They had the synagogues. They had rabbis. They had priests. They had it all. And yet our Lord turns to them in this audience and gives them this very harsh, stern warning, even to the physical children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many who are, if you will, spiritually advantaged will not be present at the feast of salvation? What surprises will there be on Judgment Day? There will be some surprises, more than likely, like this man in our text. An unexpected guest who had come to faith in his Savior. But will there be others who we expect to see there who don't show up? May God grant us the faith to never add to that category. Let us never take our spiritual status with God for granted. The same Savior that stood in front of this centurion with such gracious care and mercy toward him stands before you today through the proclamation of his word of grace and forgiveness. And so along with the centurion in our hearts, let us bow in humble faith before your Lord. Place your trust, your hope of heaven entirely in him and what he has done for you on the cross. Acknowledge that you are completely unworthy of any favor from God. And yet also acknowledge in faith that because of his kindness, you have it. and come to him alone for your hope of heaven. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. One final note about our text. Notice, have you ever gone to a wedding reception where they put out cards at the table as to where everybody is to sit? And the first thing you do is to go and find your name, and then you also like to look around at the table to see who else you're going to be seated with. Notice at the wonderful feast of the Lamb in heaven, at this heavenly feast, the seating arrangements are purely by grace, not by anything anybody has done. Notice that those who have come to faith, even from among the most unexpected places, and the most lowly of sinners, and the most pagan of lands, those who have come to faith in Christ as their Savior are now sitting alongside of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great patriarchs of the faith. Who will you be sitting next to at the great celestial feast? Amen.